already as we begin these most holy days of this week that changed the world, that opened the gates of heaven and cast forth many of the demons that were allowed to prowl throughout. We see, first of all, from the book of the prophet Saint Isaiah, who is a forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. There we see those words that are spoken about Christ. They have plucked my cheeks. They have spit upon my face. They have rebuked me. They have confounded me. Yet they will not triumph because the Father is with me. Behold, the Lord God is my helper. Who is he that shall condemn me? Who can stand beside me? Who can stand before God the Father? Who has power against us? And there too he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant, whom in these readings from the book of the prophet Saint Isaiah is referred to as the suffering servant. And indeed, though he is God, he became man so that he could become the suffering servant, so that he could, in his human nature, both spiritually, mentally, and physically, suffer for our cause, for our salvation, since the divinity can never suffer. And then we have this beautiful gospel that sets the stage for today and the next few days. Not long ago, our Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead. After 4 days in the tomb, he had permitted him to die. Nothing dies without the permission of God. We must always remember that. And the reason for it was for the glory of God, because he knew that he would come 4 days after his death, after his interment in the tomb. So that St. Martha, the great worrier of the scriptures and patroness of housewives and those who serve in any way, in any capacity, also in the church, in that case, she is also the patroness of all the religious women who are not cloistered, who are active, the sisters, who are not nuns. Nuns are in the cloister and never outside the cloister. And so she is their patroness because they work. They work their fingers to the bone for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the poor and the sick and the dying. So St. Martha is rightfully their patroness. And so in this case, however, we see that the one who takes the action, the one who takes the first step, St. Martha is there. Maybe she's helping to serve or cook or whatever, but they are all there together, lying on the couches in front of the tables. Of course, the Latin is much more explicit. I guess Elizabethans sat, and so they had no idea that at the time of Christ, one ate laying down with one's head on the left hand, and then you ate with your right hand. So it says that St. Lazarus was lying there beside him. Now, most people would not realize it because most people do not learn history, not even the history of our wonderful and wondrous faith. And so everyone had come to see Jesus, but mostly also because they wanted to see this dead man who was now among them, eating and drinking and walking. And so at this point, the contemplative and St. Mary of Bethany, who is not St. Mary Magdalene or the woman caught in adultery, is another one. Even saints make mistakes, and St. Gregory the Great confounded them, but that is incorrect. Even saints make mistakes. But St. Mary of Bethany did something which was similar. This was obviously something that was done as a sign of humility and as a sign of honor to a great personage. So nobody raised an eyebrow about it. The Pharisees raised it about the woman caught in adultery because she was caught in adultery, and they thought themselves better than she, but they were not, were they? And so, St. Mary of Bethany takes an alabaster jar, which in itself was very, very costly, and she breaks it. That was the only way to open it. It's like a piggy bank. And inside is the precious ointment, the spikenard, which was used for funerals of the very, very wealthy. And it had a wonderful fragrance. And so she spills it on the feet of Jesus, not anything else, the feet of Jesus. And then she dries his feet with her hair. And of course, she got an extra advantage. Not only did she get the graces, but for several days, her hair smelled wonderful. But that was not told us here. It's just common sense. And so, immediately, just as in the last 50 years, immediately, those who pretend to care for the poor begin to protest, why are you spending so much money? Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? Judas Iscariot. And of course, I remember sadly seeing this in the Vatican myself and my years there, that the bishops and the Pope himself, St. Paul the VI, saints make mistakes, and he made oodles of them. They got rid of all their beautiful rings and pectoral crosses because they were too fancy. So they put them in storage. They didn't sell them for the poor. You can't sell blessed objects. And then they spent a fortune on cheap gold rings that to me look like plumbing. And I would always see that and lament to everybody that could hear me. And who knows, maybe that's why I'm here. But nevertheless, that's what it was. Oh, let's give it all to the poor. Let's pretend to be poor. Let's pretend to look poor. Let's get rid of the beautiful vestments and put on horse blankets instead. That's what happened after 1965. And none of that is in the council. The council is blamed for many things. In some things, it may be responsible for, or the ones who prepared it, but it is not there. It's just not there. And so, the same thing with Judas Iscariot. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He couldn't care less about the poor. He was stealing from the purse. And you know, God is very intelligent, very wise, and we would think the other way around. But he puts the least trustworthy people in charge of the purse, because that way they can be tested, and we can see, are they really trustworthy? Are they really honest? Or are they thieves? Because he wants everybody to know who is who. And so Judas Iscariot was known. And of course, in our own day and age, we see the many who continuously steal from everybody that they can, in the church and in the government. And of course, we know who they are, and God will take care of them. Who can stand before the Lord? So indeed, the scene is prepared, and it is already at this time that Judas Iscariot, who sadly should have been Saint Judas Iscariot, every single human being that is in hell should have been a saint. That is the tragedy, that they chose hell over heaven. They chose Satan and their bodies over God. On this day, Judas Iscariot begins the project of betraying Jesus for a very cheap price, 30 pieces of silver. And that would cost him his life on this earth and his life in eternity. For after his guts spilled out when he hung himself on a tree. Interesting, Christ was hung on a tree, but he gave us life. Judas Iscariot hung on a tree by his own hand, and he lost life. Then he despite what some heretics today preach, is suffering torments beyond our imagination in the eternal fires of hell, which we should avoid at all cost, even to the detriment of our life, of our blood, of everything else that we love or have or own or possess. Let us follow the example of St. Isaias, of St. Jeremias, of St. Lazarus, and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us choose eternal life and not eternal death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.